Amen. Today we're continuing our series on parables. And throughout the summer, we're going to be going through and parables of Jesus and learning about what kingdom of God is. Amen. There's two kingdoms working in this world today. One is the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of our God. And God wants us to live in the kingdom of God. Amen. And the interesting thing about this parable, and I said this already last week, and I hope I drilled it in you, is that this is the most important parable. It's a granddaddy of all parables. So if you want to understand what kingdom of God is, this parable is the gateway into the understanding of other parables and into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So in this parable, what do we see? Let's just review. What do we see in this parable? What is the most important part of this parable? Number one, the purpose of this whole parable is fruitfulness. Remember, why would a farmer sow seed? Why would he till the ground if it wasn't for the harvest? You know, some people say, well, you church people, you preach about sowing so people can reap. You know, so when Bible says when you sow money, you will reap money, right? When you sow love, you will reap love. If you sow kindness, you will reap kindness. And it's kind of foolish to come to a farmer and say, the reason you sow because you want more seed. Duh. Of course I'm sowing more, you know, seed so I can get more seed. So when it comes to farmers, we understand that it's a normal part of life. But when it comes to kingdom of God, it's like we're supposed to be good, but we don't need to expect anything in return. That's not true. When we sow, God expects us to have a return. Amen. So whatever you do in life, you just got to remember that you're sowing. And whatever you sow, you will reap. Now, the thing about life is that you don't have to worry about sowing bad seeds. Bible says the heart of a man is deceitful. It's sinful. So bad seeds already exist in your heart. Don't have to worry about that. If you don't sow good seeds, then how can you expect a good harvest? I was watching my neighbor. He's a farmer, and he actually used to grow alfalfa in you know, next to our driveway. And that alfalfa, you know, is kind of like weeds, you know? They just, like, grow and take over the whole place. But this year, he tilled the ground, and he planted corn. But when he tilled the ground was so clean. Can we show a picture of that? The clean ground? Look at that. There's barely any weeds there. If you saw it a year before, it was all green. If you tried to stick a shovel in there, you know, to dig, it would be hard to get through. But look what he did. And let's show a next picture. It starts growing a little bit. Let's keep going. See, you see, you have corn. Now, but look between the corn. What do you see in between the rows? Weeds, where do they come from? What? It's already there. It was always there. Amen? Let's keep going and show you the progression of this. Okay, it starts growing, but hopefully, look at this. The corn is growing faster than the weeds. But if he didn't till the ground, there's no way that corn would be growing so nice as it does. Right? So if you would have planted the seeds into the ground that it was without tilling, the birds would eat it or the weeds would choke it. But when you plant good seeds, eventually this is what's going to happen. The good seeds will choke the weeds. The weeds never really disappear from your heart. What has to happen is the good seed has to go grow faster than the weed. Do you remember Jesus told us a parable of when a man sowed his seed, but Satan came in at night and sowed bad, what do you call? Tares, yeah. He sowed the tares. And then they came to the farmer and says, "Farmer, what should we do? Should we go pull out the tares?" He's like, no. Don't pull out the weeds, because you might pull out good plants. We don't want to do that. But at the end of time, I will separate the tares from the good seed. Amen. And so look what happens. The corn is passing the weeds. The weeds have no chance. Okay, let's keep going. Now, this is somebody, and this is a picture. I want to explain to you this picture. This picture has a lot of meaning. This corn is next to the weeds that was not tilled. Okay? You see this line right here? You see how the weeds are taking over? Let's show another picture of that. Look at this row right here from this side. What do you see? What are they doing? There's a line here. They're taking over. You know what that represents? That represents the Christians who's sitting on a fence. That's a fence line right there. He has one foot, look at that, in the kingdom of God. He wants to do things God's way, and one foot in the world. What's going to happen to him? The weeds are going to choke. They're already choking. They have the corn has no chance. So listen, Christians, when you sit on the fence, kind of, I want to be in the middle, you know. I'm not going to be that Bible-thumping, radical Christian. I'm not going to live radically for Jesus. I'm going to, you know, do things in the world a little bit, and I'm going to be a Christian. Besides, those things that we do in the world, they don't really matter. It's not a big deal. Come on. Yeah, pastor was preaching about it, but once I tried it, I mean, what's the big deal? A little weed, you know, just makes you feel better, you know. See, that's a person sitting on a fence. Yeah, I mean, what's the big deal? They use it for medical purposes now, you know. In California, pretty soon it's going to be legal. So that's you putting yourself in the fence line. And what happens eventually, the weeds will take over and choke you. They'll take your nutrients. They'll take your power, and you won't produce anything. So many Christians today in modern America who are on the fence. They're scared to try living for God. And what happens is they never produce. And then you ask them, and one of my friends said he came to his dad who goes to church all his life. And he said, "Dad, what happens when we die?" And dad says, "Go turn on channel 500. On your TV." When he turned the channel 500, it was all staticky. And he said, "I was disappointed. My dad was going to church all his life. Guess where he was? On the fence all his life." That's a confusing place to be. You know, either go and serve the devil, but then you get the results of the devil. Or go fully serve the kingdom of God and get the results of the kingdom of God. And listen, life in the kingdom of God is not always perfect. You will face troubles in the kingdom of God as well. Because you will face troubles in the kingdom of God. But guess what? I'm living example that it works. I am testing Bible all the time, and I realize that it works all the time. Amen. So we're talking today, 3 points. I want to talk to you about 3 points today. How to be a good soil, right? Because the goal of this parable is production. Yes, it's increase. 30, 60, and 100 fold. So that's the goal. The most important part of this parable is the ground, okay? And what I'm going to do right now is, they got the ground over here. I'm going to put my gloves on for this. And... I'm prepared. High tech here. We got the ground. I'm going to play in the ground a little bit. I didn't have the little, you know, thing to work in the ground, so I'm going to take this and I'm going to work this dirt a little, break it apart. Okay? So, we're going to prepare the ground. How does a person become a good ground? Because this right here is a good ground. Okay? Number one, and I'm going to grab my water here. The ground gets good by first being softened by the rains. Okay? So the ground gets good by being softened by the rains. Because even if you start tilling a hard ground, you'll have a ground full of these big chunks of dirt. Right? Farmers, if you have any idea with farm. So what does it mean that a hard has been softened by a little bit of rain? Okay? Well, let me tell you. Why do we sing two songs or three songs before you hear the word of God? Why do we worship God before? So God has an opportunity to soften our hearts. But before He softens our heart, listen to me. You have to receive Jesus in your heart. How many of you remember your moment when you received God in your life? You had tears in your eyes. What does it mean? Your heart was softened. God said to King Saul, who was a wicked king later, God said to him, listen, I will take away from you the heart of stone, brick right here, that's some hearts. And He said, I will give you the heart of flesh, soft heart. So God loves to, see, well, what does it mean to have God reign upon your heart? It means that you are soaked through prayer. It means that you have a working relationship with Holy Spirit. Some of you don't know this, but do you know that you can have a working relationship with the Holy Spirit? You can tell, Holy Spirit, I want us to work together. See, you cannot get this hard heart by just pouring water on it. Nothing will happen. You need Holy Spirit to come in and change it. Amen. You cannot just be a good person without God. You could be a so-called good person, but the true goodness comes when Holy Spirit comes in. Okay? So having working relationship means this. Holy Spirit, when I do something wrong, would you please convict me? Would you please tell me when I'm on a wrong path? Could you please speak loudly to me? Speak to me through people. Speak to me through the pastor. Speak to me through your word. Speak to me in your dreams. Speak to me with conviction. Through my consciousness. Speak to me through a child. You know, sometimes a child will come to you and say, Dad, I thought we're not supposed to do that. Ah, shoot. Okay, that was Holy Spirit more than a child. And so the heart has to be changed when Holy Spirit comes. It's a symbiosis, if that's the right word I'm thinking of. It's when Holy Spirit comes into your heart, He softens it up. Then worship softens it up. Prayer softens it up. Humbling before the Lord. You know, confessing our sin will soften up your heart. Okay? Next thing, how do you become a good soil? That's my point today, is that it has... Soil that has been plowed. That's my next point. What does it mean to have your heart plowed? Plowing means cutting. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like your heart has been cut into many different pieces? Have you? Have you ever felt like God is just putting His hands in your heart and goes like this? And goes like this to you. Have you ever felt that? Yeah. I know it happens a lot to me. If you're a Christian, it will happen a lot to you. God will take your heart and He will begin to plow through it. Amen. What does it mean? actually, in words, for God to plow your heart? Well, let's look at this. Let's look at this over here. The seed that fell on the stony ground, received with gladness, had no root, gave up and quit. Trials and persecutions make them stumble, right? So what is the good soil then compared to the soil? It's the heart that perseveres through trials. How many of you agree that trials take this heart and make it soft? Actually, trials produce two responses, two things in your life. Trials will make your heart even harder and say, I don't want nothing to do with you, God. Or trials, testing, tribulations, temptations make our heart softer, ready for. But listen, when tribulations come to people who are in the stony ground, they give up and quit. Tribulations that come into the good ground, they say, work at me, God. Work at me, God. Change my heart, Lord. Change my heart. I know I have a hard heart. Change me. I want to be a different person. And so you submit yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit. And Bible says this, blessed is the man who endures trials and temptations. Because after he has been tried, he will receive the crown of life. What is the crown of life? It's the fruit. 30, 60, and 100 fold. You see what I mean? So what makes our heart good? It's the trials and it's endurance. Okay? The person who is a good soil stays stable. The person stays consistent, mature, committed, endures trials and temptation. You know what good soil is? It's the person whose heart has a good character. It's the person who says, I promise you I'll be there at 3 o'clock. And actually comes at 3. I promise that I will borrow you money and I know you won't give it back. But I promised. Amen? Let me read to you the psalm that will explain to you a little bit more. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may abide in your kingdom? By your house? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Listen to this. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Some of you think you could be close to God by living how the world lives. It's a lie. Please don't lie to yourself. You cannot. Amen? He who speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, and I'm getting to the important part, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. When you see an evil person, how do you react? In our culture, we're taught what? That, oh, don't judge him. Oh, don't look down upon him. You know, he just does what he does. No, Bible says, when you see an evil person, your spirit rejects his spirit. Amen? Some of you are like, well, I'm there to save them. Listen to this. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change his mind. That's the kind of heart God wants to produce. And that's why when you feel a little bit of pain through, and I know everyone felt this. To me, it happens every 3 weeks or so. I go through a major crisis. No, seriously. I know, and I wonder what's going to happen when I'm 40. But the point is, there's always, God is always tripping these triggers in me. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And now I realize that it's for the purpose of changing me. until I make a decision, okay, Lord, fine, I know what you're saying, and I'm going to do what you said. It's the person who puts his hands upon the plow and does not turn back. Luke 9:62 says this, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand on a plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you understand the scripture? If you started following Jesus, don't look back into the world. If you started plowing, if God started his work in you, don't look back. Listen, there's nothing to see there. There's so many people testify that I've been in the world and it's bad and we still want to do it. Well, I want to experience it for myself. Well, why don't you cut an arm off so you can experience how it is to be without an arm? But it's sew it back, you know, just sew it back. You'll get the experience, you know what I mean? Come on, people, we don't need those stupid experiences. You know, I just want to try what ecstasy feels like. I just want to. It's like cutting your arm off and sewing it back. It will be sewn back, but will never be the same. Don't try. Get that out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. I know the world says, and all the movies says, just try it, you know. How will you know if you don't like it? Or how will you tell other people that it's no good? I don't want to know. I've seen people who tried it, you know, and I see. If a person tried poison and they died, will you try poison to see how it feels to be dead? No, that's stupid, right? Don't do that. Just trust their experience. Just look at their life. If you want to have what they have in their life, go ahead, try it. If you don't, live by the principles of the kingdom. And that's why we're teaching that to you today. Jesse, you have a question that you could ask maybe? That Mike or Jesse?
If you are already a stone, you know, have a heart of a stone, can a person go from a stone to soil that God can work with?
Absolutely. Okay. Now, what is a stony ground, right? You talking about stony or are you talking about wayside?
That's a tough one. I'm going to go with stony.
Stony. What do stones represent in the ground? See, weeds, thorns, are a good ground with bad seed on it. So if you till it, you can plant things in there. What's the difference between thorns and stony ground? Stony ground is things you have to, Holy Spirit has to remove out of your life. What do stones represent in our heart? Unforgiveness? Maybe bitterness? Jealousy? Amen. So what God has to do, he has to come in and pull those out. How does he make good soil? Remember we talked about this? By trials, testing. What else? Temptations, tribulations, right? So he cuts it up. So what he has to do is, he has to go and pull some stones out. But when he starts pulling the stones out, what does he use to pull the stones out? Trials and persecutions. So the person, instead of submitting, because we all have a stony heart. Come on, people. We all in this category, and this category. But we want to get to this category. So we need to allow Holy Spirit to pull out the rocks, and that's through trials, through testing you, pulling out the rocks. And guess what this person does? He says, no, I don't want to submit to this. This is too hard. I thought Christianity is going to be easy. I thought God is going to just do things for me. God is going to be my servant. God is going to make me blessed and rich. And God says, yes, I will, but first I got to remove these. And so Holy Spirit begins to, and you start fighting him, you know. Give it. No. That's why sometimes you feel depression maybe even. over your sin? Because you don't want to give it to God. You fight with Him. And He gives you no peace. He makes an unrest in your heart. And eventually what happens? You give it to Him. And He says, let's put stones where the stones belong. And let's make you a good ground. So that's what God likes to do. He removes bitterness. He removes unforgiveness. He removes jealousy. He removes, name it.
Gluttony.
He removes anger. He removes lust. He removes pride. Amen. And then He begins to till the shallow soil and begins to make it a good ground. How many of you getting this? Does that answer it? So we're all a bad soil to start with. We're all one, two, or three, or all three of them. We're all in that category. But God wants us to go into the good soil. He wants our heart to be the good ground. Okay, does that answer? Let me continue. Parents, this is for parents. Very important to help our children to be a good soil. Parents, very important for our kids to be a good soil. Help them be a good soil. You don't just say kids will raise themselves, because the world will program them, because kids are empty souls. They want to be programmed. And if you don't program them, if you don't fill them with knowledge, they will be filled by something else. It's our responsibility to show them how to be loving, how to be kind. It's our job to help them fear the Lord, to love the Lord. It's our job to teach them how to pray. Not because we send them to church and say, teach them, pastor. No, we do it at home. So when our children grow up, they don't have to deal with a whole bunch of rocks in their soil. We already helped them. Bible says, train up a child in a way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. Prepare his soil. Amen. But soil is not enough to produce harvest. Would you agree? It takes something else. So my point number two, you need a good seed to be thrown in the good soil. What's the point? If you till the ground, and a lot of us, Holy Spirit works on us, tills us, but we never plant anything. Amen. So over here, I have corn right here. Okay, that's corn. And it looks kind of wrinkled, and it feels like it has no life in it. Actually, it has no life in it right now. Seriously, it's dead corn. Okay. Let me tell you, Jan and I did a research this week because we were preparing for this message. And the research we did was in Israel, our archaeologists were digging through King Herod's palace that's in ruins right now. 2,000-year-old. They carbon dated it. It's about 2,000 years old. In those ruins, they found a seed from a palm tree. They tested it. It's over 2,000 years old. Didn't grow. Although it was in the ground, didn't do anything. What they did, and this is true story, this is truth. They put it in a good ground, and it germinated and grew into a tree after 2,000 years in the ruins. See, like if you sow peas, these are peas right here. If you sow them in the ground, okay. I'll just close it up here. I'll get dirty, so that's okay. If you sow the pea, it will grow in about 7 days. But if you plant a walnut or coconut, it will take up to 6 months before you will see it. The harder the shell. And some seeds will lay there for years before they begin to germinate and start to grow. So you don't just need good soil and that's it. I have a good heart. But God says, I want you to plant something in your good heart. What does seed represent? It's the word. So God says, I want you to plant words into your heart. So these are words. These are words right here. These are black peas. Okay? Right here. And these are rice right here. Okay? So God says, when you get the soil, well, you'll have the soil, now plant the seed. Now, my question is to you and to myself is, do you wait till you get the soil perfect like this right here before you plant? No. Why not? Because by the time you get the seeds, the weeds out and rocks out on one side of the field, what will happen? They'll start growing here. When you start attacking them here, they'll start growing here. Heart is deceitful, right? So we'll always grow weeds. And so what God does, He tills one ground and He sows it right away. And He tills another ground. That's why we don't receive everything at once. That's why our finances grow. That's why our love grows. It's not all at once. Oh, I'm so full of love. Ah, I love you all. You know? So it grows. Okay? So you see, when you put a seed in the ground, what happens? It starts growing down instead of up. So that's why sometimes when you put a word in your heart, it doesn't automatically produce right away. It takes time. Okay? Now, the seed is the words that you plant in your heart. Now, the words could be good words or bad words. Now, how many of you know Bible says this in Galatians? Let me open to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, I believe. Galatians 6, verse 7 says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if I'm going to plant corn, what am I going to reap? A lot more corn. Amen? So if I sow lies, what am I going to reap? If I sow unfaithfulness, what am I going to reap? Unfaithfulness. If I sow greed, what am I going to reap? Greed. Whatever a man sows. But what if I sow love? I'm going to reap love. Kindness, goodness. Amen? What if I sow financially? What am I going to reap? I'm going to reap financially. God says, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. So the way you sow in the ground is by giving exactly what you want in return. I'm going to choose to trust you because I want you to trust me as well. Maybe I'm not trustworthy. Maybe you're not trustworthy yet. But I'm going to sow trusting in you so I can produce that in the ground. Let's keep reading this. Verse 8. For he who sows into his flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what God wants you to do, He wants you to take these seeds and sow it into your spirit, into your heart. Amen. All right. So where do we get these seeds, guys? Where do we get the good seeds to sow in our heart? I'm talking spiritually. Where do we get good words to plant in our heart? What's that? From the Bible. Amen. Listen to what Joshua chapter 1 says. Listen to this. This book of the law, God says to Joshua, shall not depart from your mouth or your lips. Why lips? Why not in your heart? Because the way we sow things and we speak them. Okay? We speak it into. You know, Bible says God created this world by speaking things. And God said, and God said. You remember Jesus said, if you had a faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to this tree and command it to be moved. And you do not doubt in your heart, it shall be done. So another thing that could be placed in a stony ground is doubt. That's the stony ground. Faith is the good soil. And so God speaks things. Do you know that God calls things that are not as though they were? Do you know that God comes to a man named Abraham who's childless, has no children, and renames him from Abram and makes him Abraham? You know what Abraham means? Father of many nations. So notice, God didn't say, you will be a father of many nations. He calls those things that are not as though they were. Some of you ladies need to call because you're so worried about getting married. I am married. It's done. Why should I worry? Some of you guys who were, for guys anyway, you need to say, listen, I'm good financially. Although you're broke yet, I'm blessed financially. I'm rich. You remember the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Hold on. You're weak. How can you say you're strong? Because the principle of the kingdom is calling those things that are not as though they are. So he says, let the poor say, I am rich. Wow. So calling those things, you need to speak those things in your life. Girls, about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, or maybe it was longer than that, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I said that every girl in this church will get married in the right time. It will come to pass. What are you worried about? Are you in this church? Well, great. Then you don't have to worry about it. You will marry a good, godly man. Women, girls, you don't have to worry about it. Grab on to that prophecy. Somewhere in Deuteronomy, I think it says, believe the Lord and you will be established. Believe his prophets so you may prosper. That was a prophetic word. Grab on to that seed that I spoke prophetically into this church and plant it into your ground. So when some loser comes to you, when you're not ready yet to be married, your seed will not grow. You will not jump on it. Amen. Even if you messed up already, grab the seed, plant it into your heart. Every girl in this church will be married who wants to be married in God's time. But the conditions has to be right. A seed that was in a Herod's, King Herod's ruins, you know, what, 100 feet underground, were not able to produce for 2,000 years. But as soon as they pulled it out and put it in the right conditions, with a little sun, with a little bit of warmth in the soil, a little bit of water, what happened? It grew. It grew. Same thing with you. When you plant, when you want something in out of God's timing, it will not happen. The seed will not grow out of God's timing for you. But it will grow great once the time will come. So listen, girls, you got to stop worrying. All of our girls, and guys, pay attention to this too. Because you're going to marry those girls. So, amen. Amen. Let me read this, continue this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You have to speak your seed. How do you plant your seed in the ground? You speak and you speak and you speak. When Joseph saw a dream, what did he do? He told that, he spoke it to his brothers. Yes, that produced what? A lot of hatred, a lot of trials, right? A lot of plowing. But guess what? Eventually, his heart was right. And in a day, Joseph came from slave and prisoner to prince of Egypt. That seed was in the ground, in Joseph's heart, for 15 years. Now, what was the seed waiting for? The right time, the ground to be plowed. And did God plow Joseph? Oh, he did. In Potiphar's house, he plowed him. In the prison, he really plowed him. Psalm 129:3 says, David says this, they plowed, the plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. Listen to this. David, who was to be a king, had so many people come against him. He said, it felt like they plowed me. Actually, that's a prophetic word for Jesus. What happened to Jesus? They really plowed on his back. There was some ditches on his back. Amen. But look at the results. He planted himself as a seed. God planted Jesus as a seed. And 3 days later, he rose. And this is over 1 billion Christians in this world. Now, what do you speak?
I'll never get married.
Shut up. Stop saying that in this church, okay? Because you're not listening to me and I'm getting upset. If you are still not ready to get married, don't try to force the seed to grow. You just make trouble for yourself. Some of you will, I've messed up already. Listen, the word of God is incorruptible seed. So the word that I spoke, it's incorruptible. If you plant it again, it'll grow. Remember Abraham, what did he do? He tried planting his own seed. God said to him, you will have a son. And 15 years later, there's no son. So he's like, well, let's do it my way. So he gets a beautiful servant lady, Hagar, and he has a baby with her. And God says, no, no, no. But did that eliminate God's seed? No. God's word is incorruptible. So whatever God spoke in your life will come to pass if you allow him to till your ground and make it ready. And it will produce. So how do you plant the seed? By speaking it. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Just say a word. Your words have power because you were made in the image of God. So if your finances are experiencing trouble, what do? You allow God to work on your soil, on your heart. Make sure that greed is not what's making you poor. You know, a lot of people, the reason they don't have any money is they're greedy. They want more things. They want a better things that they can't afford. Some of them are jealous of their neighbors. So they buy things so they could be, so they could look better. They don't need that thing. So check your heart first. God will clean that up for you. And then begin to speak the word. It is God who gives you ability to prosper. Oh, no man, nothing except to love him. Begin to speak scriptures. I'm blessed and not cursed. I'm the head and not the tail. Although I start in the tail, but I'm by faith. Amen. You speak those things. My family is blessed. My children are Christian. When they grow up, they're Christian. I won't have to pray there and say, God, please send somebody to save my child. I want my children to go and save people. I'm going to speak those words about my children. I'm not speaking because I'm arrogant or proud. I just don't want my children to be saved again. I want them to go and save. I want my kids to start from my shoulders and not from where I started. Amen. I want my children to be married and have beautiful grandchildren that I could look at. And that means I got to do some things in my life. Well, my children, you know, they're good kids. They'll work out somehow. For the most part, they won't. They'll have so much trouble that the ground will get so hard that God cannot plant anything. If you sow things up here, plant things here, Matthew says, those who are planted by the wayside, they hear the word, but do not understand it. In Proverbs chapter 2, it says, my son, and this is what I'm hoping is happening today, this afternoon. It says, incline your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Good soil is the soil that finds the knowledge of God. Because if the wayside hears the word and doesn't understand, the good soil hears the word, understands it. How many of you understand what I was teaching today? If you do, this will work in your life. You have a chance. If you don't, come next Sunday and we'll keep working. That's what I do here. I'm a teacher. I keep teaching you.